You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. As sexual harassment allegations against Harvey Weinstein continue to make waves, the Me Too campaign has taken over social media. The slogan was created by social activist Tarana Burke nearly a decade ago to shed light on sexual abuse experienced by women of color. Now women are using the phrase to share their personal stories of harassment and sexual abuse on Facebook and Twitter. And the numbers are pretty staggering, too. Yesterday, Twitter reported the hashtag has been used more than 1.2 million times. So now many people are asking, what are men going to do about the harassment and abuse of women? With us to discuss the question is Nicholas Powers. He's a poet and English professor at SUNY Old Westbury. He's also author of the article titled Now All Men. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Professor Powers.
Thank you for inviting me.
So just to start, to be clear, you wrote your article months ago. This was before the allegations against Harvey Weinstein were widely known. So what prompted you to write it then?
There was a young male shooter named Elliot Roger in California, and he stabbed and he shot around six people. He was driven by a kind of high-octane misogyny. It just kind of forced me to look around my own life and really at the world and to start putting together the pieces of the puzzle of what does violence against women on a large systemic and then personal level look like. And so that was the origin of the piece. And then kind of sadly enough, it doesn't take too long for some other scandal or tragedy to make us look at the violent effects of sexism.
What was your reaction to the Me Too campaign? And going off that, do you know men who have been talking about what they've been seeing on social media?
My reaction was a sense of deja vu, because when Elliot Roger did this violent rampage, this kind of sexist terrorism, there was Now All Women campaign. Again, it was very heavily internet-based, where women were sharing their stories about being sexually harassed and violated. And then with the Me Too campaign, there seems to be the second wave of internet testimonial. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of men who are willing to be open about their own complicity in this. And, you know, obviously it's hard because they are afraid of the blowback. They're afraid of being kind of tarred. But at the same time, that becomes a very missing voice, a missing part of the puzzle. And so then women basically are the ones testifying and kind of ripping the scars open again in public. And the men who've caused the pain, again, get to stay with the privilege of invisibility.
And kind of continuing on the line of thought that you were just talking about there, to quote your article here, men say over and over that it's not all men, and yet seemingly every woman has a story of sexism. What are the mechanics of the social blindness? Go on, talk about more about that social blindness, that disconnect. At what point should a man say something or stand up for women in their lives?
In the moment, all the time. Just intervene. Not only if you see a woman being harassed, but even intervene on the behaviors that lead up to that harassment. And I think that that's the most difficult thing, because if a man wants to be part of like the inside clique, the circle, then, you know, in the article I point out that one of the easiest ways for men to do that is to kind of like make a joke, create a scene of, you know, sexual virility or harassment, and basically kind of use women as a token through which they enter a male supremacist space or a male only space. So there has to be some other way that we can be men with each other that doesn't mean dehumanizing women as kind of like a ritual practice.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, and you talk about it in your article too, that the knee-jerk defensiveness among men. And I'll admit, as a man, that is something that I found myself doing sometimes. And thankfully, I've had women on my life point that out to me and say, you know, that should not be your default position here. Why is that the default position? And what would you say to men who do have that and may not even realize that that is what they're doing?
That defensiveness, that reflex defensiveness, is a perfect map to our privilege. And it is, if followed, a way of actually finding the treasure of an authentic relationship with yourself and with others. If you can feel that kind of tenseness, listen to it. Instead of shutting it down and running away or continuing to clench, just say, well, why am I being tense? Why don't I just relax? Why don't I actually just listen? And then ask yourself, well, what part of my life is built on my male privilege and is built on her silence or her fear or her doubt or insecurity? and then ask, do I really need to have that part of myself upheld by things that she has to keep down? And also that it's a constant struggle. Once is not enough. You have to continually dismantle this if you want to stay clear.
Nicholas Powers is a professor of English at SUNY Old Westbury and a contributor to the newspaper and online news site The Independent. Thanks for your time, Professor.
Thank you, Sean.